Love God, yourself, and others. Love and respect like our Redeemer and the Church. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to understand your word, to understand the mystery of how Christ treats the Church, so that we may treat each other in a similar fashion. I pray that you will help us to obey the law of love, which is the new commandment that you left for us as you were teaching your disciples during the years of your ministry here on earth. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Ephesians 5, 29-33, message. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the Church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the Church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. While this is not the love chapter, like 1 Corinthians 13, it does nevertheless focus on love in a big way. It speaks of the marriage relationship between a husband and wife as being a copy of the relationship between our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and his body, the Church. This is why people leave their parents, leave the home that they grew up in, and forge a new life with their marriage partners. This is why a person treats their spouse as more important than their parents once they are married. I know there is a huge love between mother and son and between mother and daughter, but it is not very nice being married to a man whose number one woman in his life is his mother. Our scripture starts off with the question, no one abuses his own body, does he? Well, unfortunately, with the fairly common occurrence of wife abuse, and I'm sure there is also husband abuse somewhere along the line, it does seem that there are people that don't love themselves and that have a very low self-esteem, and it's almost like they don't want to take care of themselves. And this is a very sad state of affairs, and it should not be this way. We are told to love others as we love ourselves, and so we do also need to love ourselves. And when we see how much God loves us, then we can love ourselves. Speaking of love, this new commandment is mentioned by Jesus himself in Matthew 22, verse 36-40, TPT. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment, and the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments, as contained in Exodus 20, they are briefly, 1. Have no other gods before God, our God. 2. Have no carved images to worship. 3. Do not take God's name in vain. 4. Keep the Sabbath day holy. 5. Honor your father and mother. 6. Do not murder. 7. Do not commit adultery. 8. Do not steal. 9. Do not make false accusations. 10. Do not covet or envy anyone else's people or possessions. So there are many other laws and instructions in the Old Covenant, but those are the Ten Commandments. So loving other people isn't explicitly mentioned here, but not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not making false accusations, and not coveting, that is all expressions of love. So Commandments 6 through 10 are all pertaining to our relationships with other people. And when you follow the law of love, you are automatically fulfilling those commandments. The fifth commandment is about honoring your father and mother, and the first four are about honoring God and worshipping him and taking him seriously and showing him your love through the respect and adoration that we show towards him in our lives on a daily basis. This translation said love your friend in the same way that you love yourself. A lot of translations say love your neighbor as you love yourself. Apparently in the Aramaic, the word means one who is close. and that's why it was translated to friend. But basically, anyone who is in close proximity, that's even someone who just runs across your path, that you bump into. You might not know them personally, you might not be acquainted with them, but they just happen to be in the same space as you on planet Earth. Because this one who's close to you, that's either emotionally or being in close proximity. That means, you know, on the same street or walking down the same road. Or being in the same part of a crowd. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's in Luke 10, verse 29 to 37. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to highlight verse 33 in TPT. Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon the bleeding man and was moved with tender compassion for him. So from the story, it would seem that all the people that walked past the victim of the thieves were not acquainted with him. There's nobody said, oh, there's my best friend, or there's my cousin lying on the side of the road. It was just a man, a random unknown man. And this Samaritan, which from the context of the story, it would seem that the victim was not a Samaritan. Because otherwise, if he was also a Samaritan, well then, you know, Samaritan might help his fellow countrymen. But if the victim was an Israeli person, then being helped by a Samaritan was quite a surprise twist to the plot of the story that people would not have expected. So Jesus was trying to highlight the fact that it's not the people that you think are going to help you that is your neighbor. It's the person that actually stops to help you that is your neighbor. It also suggests that we stop and help other people that we meet along the way instead of just our friends and family. Enough about general love for our fellow human beings living on planet Earth. More about marriage. In an imperfect world, some marriages might not be ideal. And one thing that is sometimes seen as a solution is divorce. While divorce is not a solution, it is a different kind of problem, but it is not a solution. And God hates divorce. This is seen in Matthew 19, verse 3 to 9. NKJV. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. So this is highlighting the fact that marriage is a lifelong commitment, and you don't just get married, get divorced, and get married to somebody else, and get divorced and get married to somebody else. It's not the way it was intended. Obviously, if your spouse has committed adultery, then you are free to divorce without any issues. The reason God hates divorce is because marriage is like gluing two pages together. Before the marriage, they are two individual pages. Once you have spread glue over the entire surface of the page and stuck the two pages together, they form one thicker page. Around the edges, you can still see the fact that it is made up of two pages, but it is still one physical entity. If you try to separate those two pages, there is no way of separating them without both pieces tearing. So divorce is something that damages the individuals involved. I was not divorced. I was separated for 2.5 years before my husband passed away. But I do know I have experienced the same pain of separation that divorced people go through. We were staying in separate premises for those last 2.5 years. And a pastor at the church I attended at the time, his name was Pastor Trevor. It's a different Pastor Trevor to our beloved pastor. And he said to me that I'd had a double whammy, and I thought, what? I don't even have to fuss about custody and visitation. You know, I got it easy. And then I came to realize that I had both areas of pain to deal with. In fact, our church, it was in Bryanston, it had a series of courses to help people going through issues. One was called Divorce Care, the other one was called Grief Share. Divorce Care were people who had gone through divorce and or separation, and I attended that 3 times before the pain subsided enough for me to deal with the Grief Share course. So, yeah, I thought, having been in an abusive relationship, that I would be relieved when he died, but I was not. I was devastated, probably due to the soul ties that existed between two of us, and also because we were one flesh, because we were, you know, husband and wife. So, yeah, getting separated and or divorced is not easy. It's not nice. And being widowed is also not easy, and it's not nice. I do know of a couple who married each other as second marriage on both sides. It was our retired pastors, Glenn and Jenny, and they are an example. They have committed themselves to be an example of the kind of love spoken about in this second love chapter. It's not the main love chapter, no, 1 Corinthians 13, but it is a chapter about love. I really have seen the gentleness, the kindness that they show one another. And they are an example to everyone that knows them of a beautiful, loving, understanding relationship where both parties intentionally show that kind of love spoken of, where Christ and the church are the prime examples given to us of how we are supposed to relate to our spouses. As I might have mentioned, I had an abusive marriage, and I'm a fighter by nature, and I fought back, and I actually became rebellious, which is not a good thing, so please do not copy my example in that case. But the resistance that I felt in my heart to the man who was causing all the pain showed itself in the ways where I was unkind to him. I might not have intentionally thought, oh, I'm going to be nasty to him today, but I can look back and see all the different ways where I was actually unkind. And that is not ideal, and do not copy that. I'm just saying it because some of us might not realize that we are being unkind in those subtle ways of just rejecting subtly and short. I didn't even realize I was doing it at the time. It's only in hindsight that I came to realize that that is what I did. So yeah, I cannot apologize to the man now, and he is living in perfect love in the presence of Jesus. So don't do what I did. Please love as Jesus loves the church, and respect each other as we respect Jesus. It's not a one-way street. It's not love going one way and respect going the other way. Both parties need to love each other, and both parties need to respect each other and submit to each other. The scriptures mention to the husbands that they need to love their wives, maybe because men don't express their feelings as easily, and therefore they need more encouragement to show love. And wives are encouraged to honor their husbands, perhaps because that resistance, be it also subtle, can be an undermining of their self-worth, of the husband's self-worth. And yeah, just don't do it. Just love and respect each other. And just in case you think, well, I'm not married, so it doesn't apply to me, please remember that this applies to the church and Christ. And the church is all other Christians, all other born-again believers. So it does affect the way we respect and love other people in the church environment as well. It doesn't only apply to man and wife, it applies to human beings in general as well, where we submit to each other, we respect each other, and we love each other. Jesus washed his disciples' feet as an example of a leader serving in love. So let's do this and let's shine our lights.